Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we present our fourth interview with the candidates who are running for an open Spokane City Council seat in the Northeast District. There are seven candidates. We've met Tim Benn, Chris Brown, and Doug Salter. Today, our guest is Nagmana Shirazi. Next week, we'll talk with two others in that race, Michael Cathcart and Louis Lefevre. We're still working to arrange an interview with the seventh candidate, Gerald Haynes. Over the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll move on to interviews with five of the six candidates in the Northwest District, with mayoral candidates Sean Poole and Nadine Woodward, and then with the candidates for City Council President. And that'll take us into mid-July. As we roll these out, you can go to our website at any time and listen at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Click on the Regional News tab, and then on Election 2019, or you can go to the Inland Journal page. So let's move now to Nagmana Shirazi in the Northeast District.
A lot of people just look at my first name and they look at it and say, what, so many consonants? How do I even say this? So I tell them, leave the H out and just pronounce it Nagmana, and it works. It's actually a very romantic word, means singing or in the process of singing. Somebody just looked it up and told me it means melodious. So my parents were romantics and they called me Nagmana. It means song or singing and melodious. In Arabic, in Farsi, in Urdu, Hindi, Bengali, Gujarati, a lot of languages in our part of the world.
Same word for yes. The...
Nagma really? Means song.
Oh. So you're Pakistani?
I am. I was born and raised in Karachi, Pakistan, yes.
How'd you make the trip to the United States?
I got divorced after a 14-year marriage. And my brother said, let me give you a springboard and come to Houston and see what you want to do. So I came to Houston, and my mother was there too at the time. And she'd had a couple of strokes and had mobility issues. So I ended up helping her out a little bit. And then I went back to school. My son was obviously, he was born in the United States. So he just went back to school as well. And we made a new life. Moved to Spokane about 8 years ago because the degree that I was working on when I was in Houston at University of Texas at MD Anderson Cancer Center, School of Health Professions, there was a company up here in Spokane called Signature Genomics Laboratories, and they had some connections with Baylor College of Medicine where I was doing my internship. And so I did a little bit of research with them, and then I found out that they were hiring and looking for a cytogenetic technologist, and I applied for the position and I got it. That's when I moved to Spokane.
So now you want to be an elected official. Why?
I moved to Spokane about 8 years ago, and I started working in a very technical field, and but you know, I think God had a different path planned for me, so I ended up that company closed a year after I got here. And then I started working at the treatment services, opioid treatment program at the Spokane Regional Health District. I was there about 3 1/4 years, and I was also doing some research with WSU and with their College of Nursing in opioid treatment and how it affects people with chronic pain and that kind of thing. And of course, I have this firsthand knowledge of people, why they're addicted to opioids. You know, it's mainly because they've been overprescribed opioids, really. Opioids are really, really the bane of our existence where addiction is concerned. And they lead on to so many more problems because people, you know, the pain is there and it's not being taken care of and they're not being looked at properly or holistically. The approach needs to be different. Anyway, so once I got there and I started working, I suppose it was more social justice causes. Some issues came up. I got involved with the local community, with PGILS, and working on Proposition 1 when they were proposing placing an initiative on the ballot which would empower any city employee to ask for documentation. Which is fine, I suppose, except that, you know, it kind of is a racial profiling initiative because it means that you are discriminating against people just because of perception, somebody's individual thinking about what it's different or what it means to be different. So I could be wearing my shalwar kameez, which is my normal ethnic outfit, and somebody could say, show me your documentation, or my son could be parking his car on the side of the road and they would say, oh, show me your documentation just because he's brown, just like me. So I thought this is wrong, and I wanted to make a change. And I wanted to take it up as an issue that we don't need something like this. We are better than this, living in Spokane. And I firmly believe this is the time for us to be the people who effect the change. If I didn't take it up as a mother and create a better world for my child tomorrow, I wouldn't be able to face him or my grandkids or other children. What I'm trying to do is make a change, run for city council so that I can make a change, make it a better world for all of us, and especially our children.
So we've been asking folks about how they view the homelessness situation in Spokane and how the city has handled it. How do you feel about that?
I have mixed feelings. We need to do better, period. And we need to do it right away. And this has become an issue where, unfortunately, Spokane, we do have a lot of things happening right now. Spokane is a growing city. It's an up-and-coming metro city. And we really need to take care of a lot of issues because right now, for instance, everything is interconnected. All the things that I'm looking at, they're all interconnected. For instance, the homelessness and the housing situation, we have less than 1% rental properties available, which means people like me, starting out as a family, you know, young families with, you know, single unit families, however we want to term them, don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of disposable income. And for them to go out and find a place that's affordable and still in a fairly good neck of the woods and in a decent state of affairs so that, you know, not something's not breaking down every few days. You know, we just don't have the money to do that. And I think that's been my nightmare, wanting to get out of my apartment because whatever I can afford is simply, it's just too run down. So we need to have better solution. We need to bring the private and the public sector in on this so that we can do something. I've been out knocking on doors. And more than it, a lot of times I'm finding elderly ladies, elderly folk who are telling me that they're living in these apartment complexes, but they're afraid that they're going to lose their apartment or they're going to have to leave the premises that they've been living on for umpteen numbers of years. Reason is because they say, I can't afford to live here anymore. The rent keeps going up. I know State of Washington has a law that doesn't allow the imposition of a cap, but maybe we do need to think about that and go that route. It may not be the best solution, but that's at least one thing that we could look at and maybe make a change somewhere. Because obviously, if there is a supply and demand economics kind of thing, you know, you have something and you're short supply, the prices are going to go up. But we have to realize when you look at the human factor of it, you know, I am a single mother. I only have limited income. And my friend Jane, who lives next door to me, she has three kids. She's a single mother. She doesn't even have time to parent her kids. She's trying to hold down two jobs. I am trying to hold down three jobs just to make ends meet. And both of us are in the same situation. We live literally one missed paycheck away from being out on the street. So homelessness is compounded with our housing situation the way it is right now. There are other factors, of course. Whether we talk about disparity in our racial injustice system here, you know, the racial disparity in our justice system here. And there's a revolving door policy. And there's, you know, there's so many different things that we're looking at in Spokane that are interconnected with all of this. People are not out on the street because they made bad choices in life. They're not out on the street because they have mental health issues. They're not out on the street because they are abusers of substances. It's because things happened in their life. Not everybody's the same. Everybody has a story. There is a reason why they're there. So the housing and homelessness situation is a very complex one. And unless a lot of different aspects and a lot of different agencies and a lot of different people with a great head on their shoulders and some urban developers and planners, we all come together and make changes, it's not going to get resolved so easily.
But what about the people who are on the street because of their drug use and they choose not to live someplace or they can't because of their drug use? Should the city be tougher in finding places for them to be, whether it be incarcerated or drug treatment, that sort of thing?
I honestly feel that no one's on the street because that's the choice that they're making. It's not easy to be on the street and live there. If we have resources available and we make it where people are, you have to be compassionate. Okay, end of story. You just cannot impose a sit and lie ordinance and say, okay, no, you can't sit and lie on the street. That's ridiculous. I mean, the street is for everybody. So long as somebody's not blocking a business or, you know, causing any issues, you know, they should be allowed to sit in whatever they need to do, wherever they are. I honestly feel that. Where it comes down to, oh, they're just not interested in getting treatment, that's not true. If somebody has mental health issues, do they even know that they have mental health issues? Do they even realize what's good for them? It's up to us to look out for them and to make the, bring them the resources, or, you know, take them to the resources or connect them somehow. We are failing society. We are failing our elderly. We are failing people who need these services.
Our guest is Spokane City Council candidate Nagmana Shirazi. Our community is starting to have another conversation about the fate of our jail and whether or not, you know, it's constantly full. People wanting to focus more on diversions to keep people out. There are others who want to build a much bigger jail. Where do you come down on this?
I disagree with having a new jail. I feel that we need to look at our, we need to have some reforms. And they need to be in place. We need to look at it again. For instance, there's studies that the information is there. You need to be able to go and look at it, and you need to make a really educated and informed decision. Incarceration doesn't help anybody. All it does is creates another level of, issues for people who are trying to, for instance, find a house. You know, if you have a felony conviction because you were 16, because you were caught with marijuana on you, for instance, 8 out of 10 places are not going to even entertain you renting from them. And if you're going to incarcerate people, you know, that's not going to help anybody. What did they do? You have to look at it in a holistic manner. What happened? Why did that happen? And because of the systemic racism that does exist in Spokane in a lot of different ways, because I myself have come across it, and I'm educated, and I have a job, and I, you know, I'm a contributing member of society. And if I come across stuff like that, person who doesn't have the means and is looked down upon just because they're out on the street, we are not doing them any favors by incarcerating them. We are compounding the problem. We don't need a new jail.
But if there aren't enough places to put them, private places for drug treatment or shelters where people can go, who picks up the slack then?
The city needs to. We need to do better. That's what I was saying. We need to find solutions right now, because we need to find solutions where we are able to offer these resources so that people can get the help that they need and not end up incarcerated instead of being helped.
So what's the city's role? As we think about the growth on the West Plains with the Amazon Fulfillment Center, and we're looking at a new electric car factory out there. And as you mentioned, we have a very, you know, very tight housing market. Is it the city's role to, what is the city's role in trying to make sure that there are more, there's ample housing for low-income people, workforce housing, that sort of thing?
As I said, Spokane's a metro city up and coming. If you look at the indices for development, it's, I think, within the top 10. So change is coming. Development is coming. Progress is coming. Whether we want it or not, whether we like it or not, it's coming. It would behoove us to make sure, like, for instance, our roadways and our infrastructure, including the housing, parkways, waterways, everything is connected. We need to think about it right now, so that when we need to have our urban planning and everything, the Amazon and the lithium car company, whatever that is coming on the West Plains site. If we're developing and building it into an industrial area, it's fine, but we need to think about, you know, how are we going to use our waterways? Do we have enough water to go there? I mean, we're talking about housing. Sure, we'll put the houses up, but do we even have the facility or the enough water to available to be able to kind of, or where is all the waste going? It's you know, so we have to think about all these different things. Think of our infrastructure, build it accordingly so that we are not cursing ourselves out in about 20 years.
So a lot of people like to complain about the state of Spokane's streets, you know, all the potholes and all of that thing. What's your perception as, you know, somebody who's been here for 8 years, but maybe not as the lifer who always remembers, you know, the potholes that swallowed up, you know, is the city doing a good job with the infrastructure that we see, do you think?
I feel, so you have to remember, I come from a third world country.
This is true. Yeah, so, this is true.
Where contractors only patch the road up just before the monsoons, so that when the water is on the street and every car is going over a pothole, it's perpetuation, because that ensures it's good business savvy, because it means, you know, they have constant income. But I'm not saying that that's the case here in Spokane. But we tend to do patch-up jobs, although I believe last summer and through the fall, we had division closed most of the time because we were doing this massive renovation project. Everybody hated it, but look at the result now. It's beautifully done. We don't have the potholes. I know there are parts of Hamilton that we're looking at. It's under construction right now. Once it's done, that's going to take care of that as well. And potholes are a way of life. They're going to happen. You know, it's something is going to happen. You're going to have a pothole. But yeah, we do need to fix this. And we do need better planning to be able to kind of keep up the construction work or the repair work or whatever needs to be done to make sure that, you know, because that's our livelihood. You drive on it every day. You take your kids to school. You go to the grocery store. You go to the movies or whatever. It's work, school. So it's important to be able to make things on time. And if you have construction all the time, and or if you have potholes all the time or bad roads, it's a big deal to, you know, it damages your vehicles, you know, so your equity is going down and so on and so forth. So it's important. It is our responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen.
So let's finish with this. You were in a race with seven people who were vying for two spots after the. How do you convince people that you're one of those two people who should be moving on after the primary in August?
I show them my track record. I have become a huge part of the community. And I'm not doing it just because of the fun of it, but because I really care. I'm here for the long haul. I've put in the hard work. I've shown that I can be depended on. I'm doing tons of work within the interfaith area and education, and pretty much you name it, I'm doing it. I'm considering where I am today from when I came to Spokane, from not knowing a single person when I arrived here. And all the people that I know now, friends, through work, through all the different community organizations that I'm part of, there's a lot of people. And we're all working together to make Spokane a better place. And I've been doing it for at least 7 years now. And I can already see the changes. There are going to be a lot more people like me. The reason why I am running and I feel people should vote for me is because I am convinced that I can put in the hard work. Well, actually, I've shown that I can put in the hard work. And I feel people see the passion when they look at me and they talk to me and they understand where I'm coming from, why I'm saying this, or because I have this one child who is my driving force and I want to make it a better world that I hand over to him tomorrow. He's the one who got me involved in the social justice causes around me in Spokane, mainly because I do seriously want to hand over a better world than what we have right now. And, you know, I like Spokane. I moved here about 8 years ago, and I really love the scenery and the landscape, and it attracts me. And it kind of blows my mind that there are lakes around here and there's trails around here that I could probably go to and visit and walk on every single day and not run out of options for a full 3 years, perhaps. It's amazing. And it's a beautiful part of the world, and we really need to take better care of it.
Were there any issues I didn't ask you about that you wanted, that are important to you, that you want to make sure that I, listeners, heard about?
I feel we haven't talked about the immigrant population and the refugee population that exist in Spokane and the issues they face. We come across a lot of people who have very definite ideas about very many different things. And housing and homelessness I hear a lot about. I don't hear so much about immigrants. Definitely immigrants we're perceived as, oh, you're just a Johnny come lately, what do you know? But you go back to looking at an immigrant's track record and you look at the voting records, they're the people who actually have voted most consistently. For instance, when I took my oath of citizenship last November, after the general election, unfortunately, but definitely early enough to be able to vote in this election and vote for myself, I think that's pretty cool. The major factor that's propelling me is because I want to be the voice of my community, whether it's indigenous populations or whether it's the immigrant population, whether it's impacted communities, minority communities like mine, it's Asians, immigrants, you know, we are all very much a part of the landscape of Spokane. And as I said, change is coming, you know, and we want to be part of it. So I want to be that voice on the city council to bring that perspective so that people understand who we are, why we're saying what we're saying. And I can say, oh, wait a minute, you know, have you thought about this? This is important as a factor because, you know, you're proposing this, but this affects this community in this manner. So it kind of bringing an educated comment, opinion from my background.
Nagmana Shirazi is one of the seven candidates for Spokane City Council in the Northeast District. Next week on the podcast, we'll continue with the candidates in that race, Michael Cathcart on Monday, Louis Lefevre on Tuesday. We're still working to arrange an interview with Gerald Haynes. We're posting our full interviews with the candidates for Spokane City Office on the Spokane Public Radio website. One new candidate a day until we've featured all who have accepted our invitation. You can find those interviews by clicking on the Regional News tab and then clicking on Election 2019, or just go to the Inland Journal page. Or you can get the interviews by subscribing to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. We welcome your comments and story ideas at inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.